Consultants look to the public in preparation for a Skagway port plan, and a budget shortfall could cause cuts at Haines School. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Skagway is at an impasse with the company that controls much of its waterfront. It's been about a year and a half since voters overwhelmingly rejected a tidelands lease between the borough and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Since then, plans to renovate and clean up the port have stalled. The Assembly recently hired Moffitt & Nickel as a port consultant to help move things forward. The first step for the consultants is gathering public input. They held meetings in Skagway this week.
These are the areas that White Pass owns.
Tyler Rose is an executive with White Pass. He's pointing out sections of Skagway's port that the tourist attraction either owns or leases from the borough. Here's what White Pass leases.
It's the area that encompasses the Broadway dock, the ore terminal facility, the Temsco area, the AML yard, and the parking lot.
That's a lot of the waterfront. White Pass owns the three cruise ship docks and leases the tidelands around them. That lease is due to expire in 2023.
We still got one main obstacle. We need access to the property, which we don't enjoy without the blessing of the leaseholder.
That's Skagway Mayor Mark Schaefer. He thought the town had an answer to the access issue back in 2015. The borough negotiated a lease extension with White Pass. It gave the railroad rights to the Tidelands property for another 35 years. In return, White Pass would allow Skagway to work in its territory.
This has always been White Pass's position, you know. Sure, we'll work with you, but, you know, in order for you to get onto the property and disrupt the quiet enjoyment, we're going to need a new lease.
But many residents were not happy with that new lease. It was rejected in a public vote in fall of 2015. Gary Hansen is a former assembly member who opposed the lease.
Skagway has never in its history had any ownership in its own waterfront facilities. Sure, we own the land, but all the facilities have always been privately owned. And that has presented a problem for us in that we can't make any long-term plans for our port unless it goes through the people that it's leased to. In this case, it's White Pass. They are the gatekeepers of our port, and I don't feel it's right.
Hansen wants the municipality to take control of the area it leases to White Pass once the contract expires. But that's not for another 6 years, and there is a lot Skagway wants to accomplish on the port before then. First, it wants to clean up long-standing lead contamination in its ore basin and renovate the industrial facilities there. Second, it wants to accommodate larger cruise ships. Breakaway class cruise ships are set to sail to Alaska waters next year. Juno and Ketchikan are already working to build infrastructure that can handle the massive vessels, but Skagway is stuck. The port consultants need to take all of this into account.
It seems like Skagway is in a position now of, okay, so what should we, how should we look at all these arrangements now, or how is it working now? It's like, seems like a great time to look at that and decide, hey, what should we do next?
Julie Deneen is a subcontractor for Moffitt & Nickel. She was brought onto this project to conduct an appraisal of the port, which Deneen says is very unique.
You have a million passengers off the ships, but you have a small population. And someplace like Whittier or Seward or Puna might have a similar population, but they don't get all the cruise ship passengers. So there really isn't any apples and apples.
Moffitt and Nickel will also have to weigh divergent opinions from residents about what should come first in future port renovations. Andrew Cremata says the borough should focus on Skagway's booming cruise ship industry.
Now there's a lot more commerce and industry here during the winter months because of the fact that tourism has brought people here who can sustain themselves on that temporary income during the summer. So tourism creates the year-round economy. To sit there and say we don't have a year-round economy and we need one doesn't make any sense.
I think there's can be so much more to the community than just a summertime tourist attraction.
That's Port Commissioner John Tronrude. He thinks Skagway should capitalize on its location as a gateway to the Yukon and develop the port to handle more mining shipments and other industry that could create year-round jobs. About 40 people showed up to Monday's meetings. The Moffitt and Nickel representatives will take the public input to the rest of their team. In February, the consultants will be back to present their initial ideas on a complex situation of significant importance to Skagway's future. The budget process is underway at the Haines School. As the district develops a spending plan for the next fiscal year, they're facing an unexpected reduction in state funding that could lead to cuts. The superintendent wants feedback from the staff and the public before deciding what programs and positions might be on the chopping block. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
We're going to have to find $500,000 somewhere.
That's Superintendent Tony Habra.
Combination probably of reductions and savings account.
Enrollment declined at the Haines School this year. Fewer students means less state funding and the school budgets for that. Next year, enrollment is predicted to be 252 students. That's about 10 less than this year, following a downward trend. At first, the district thought they'd be getting more money from the state.
Initially, the thought was, well, we're in pretty good shape, but we were basing that on what the preliminary estimates were from the state.
But the initial state funding estimate was based on the wrong number of students. Now that the district has updated information about how much state funding it will receive, it looks like they're in for a $487,000 deficit in fiscal year 2018. That is, unless action is taken. In the past, the district has relied on reserves to deal with budget shortfalls. But right now, there isn't enough money in that savings fund to cover the gap. They have $481,000, about $6,000 less than the expected deficit.
So a few minor cuts would, if we just wanted to use the fund balance. And we will certainly have to use some fund balance, but we do not want to use all of our fund balance. That's unsustainable. In the following year, we would be at zero, and we can't have that.
Instead, they'll start looking at making cuts to save money. Assistant Principal and Curriculum Director Cheryl Stickler is retiring this coming year. But they'd already taken that into account before finding out about the state funding. So even though that will save money, it doesn't help chip away at that $500,000. Habra says relying just on cuts to make up the deficit would be too severe.
That would be a scorched earth kind of a policy, and we can't have that for our students and for our staff. But we will have to make some adjustments to get things closer in line, and part of it will be we're budgeted conservatively, but we need to make sure that if the worst happens, we are still able to maintain and keep the school district open.
And drawing solely from reserves isn't an option either.
We could not make them, but if that happens, we run the risk of having either zero fund balance, meaning no savings left at all, or running a deficit, in which case the state comes in and takes over the school district.
The district could make up some of the money toward the end of the next fiscal year, if, for instance, new students move to town. Habra says when they make projections about how many students they'll have, they guess conservatively. If they end up having more than projected, the state will make up the difference. In general, Habra says developing the budget for the next fiscal year is a guessing game.
Even now, we're building something based on what we think might happen in the state legislature. We don't know. They could cut school funding there. And then we're making it based on what we guessing or hoping at the federal level, because we do get federal grants too, and if they feel that they need to cut money out of there for whatever reason, we could see another pinch there.
And there are still some other factors that the administration is waiting on.
We have negotiations with the teachers coming up. We don't know what the insurance increase will be. Those are two big things we need to find.
In the meantime, he's planning to meet with staff at the end of the month and with the public at the beginning of February. There, Habra hopes to have a conversation about what the priorities are. After that, the administration team will work together on what cuts should be made. Then it goes back to the school board. They'll vote on the budget in June. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.